Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Kicking off hour number two on a Tuesday. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise with you. Taking you up until 10 o'clock today. It is time, and we're actually going to spend the entire hour here discussing college football. We've got the playoff stuff we're going to start with. We're going to get to Bama LSU. We're going to get to Tennessee. We're going to get to the Florida State vacancy. This is, if you're a college nerd, this is your hour.
So let's just start the hour off with a bang then. How about that? This was a tweet from, and it's got a blue check mark, so I've done my diligence here, so I hope I'm not getting what's it called?
Catfished?
It's not catfishing when somebody just puts out a fake tweet with a fake Twitter account, right?
Duped.
This is WTXLABC27 in Tallahassee. So there's a blue check mark. There's a blue check mark here. 30,000 followers.
Sounds legit.
News channel in Tallahassee. Sources, Florida State nearing a deal with Bob Stoops to become next head football coach. Now, again, I am hesitant because I am in the middle of a broadcast here and haven't had time to do the diligence here. But there's a blue check mark next to this news site in Tallahassee. So let's keep our ear to the ground here and see if there's anything to this report. So
I like it though.
I like it too.
There's a blue check mark.
that sounds tasty. Yeah.
Blue check mark, right? Yeah,
Chase got a blue check mark too.
Oh,
yeah. They give those out like bubble gum nowadays.
Yeah. Why don't you have one then, buddy?
I have no idea.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that one.
Yeah,
out.
We all got bubble gum except for you, bud.
Exactly.
I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of bubble gum, as Roddy Piper once said.
So let's keep an eye on that.
Who wants to go first?
Mine
will be the most random and disapproved of. So y'all can give y'all's, and then I'll give mine, and then you can yell at me and tell me how stupid mine are.
I like
top
that.
Top four Tuesday. Let's do it.
All right, how many Big Ten teams you got in your top four? Three?
You want to know?
Yeah, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
It don't matter to me.
Okay. I'll go first because I think my top four will be identical to what the committee reveals tonight.
I agree with that.
And I tweeted this 2 days ago. LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Bama 3, Clemson 4. And then on the outside looking in, I've got Penn State 5, followed by the trio of one-loss teams, Georgia, Oklahoma, Oregon. 6, 7, 8.
So I think the far more interesting debate tonight is going to be those bottom four teams that you mentioned. How does the committee view all of the one-loss teams, Georgia, Oklahoma, Oregon, Utah in particular? How does the committee view those teams? Because if they clearly make a statement with those four teams, it tells you what the pecking order is for one-loss champions, right? Because all these teams above them are going to lose. Like Alabama and LSU play, Penn State and Ohio State play. There's going to be losses around the table. So how does the committee view Oklahoma? How does the committee view Georgia, Oregon, and Utah? I think is the most interesting thing. And I think that's what the committee will do, the four teams that you put in there tonight. It might actually be Clemson 3, Alabama 4, if you're projecting tonight, because Clemson actually has played a tougher schedule than Alabama even has, although they played that one really close game against North Carolina. So
I totally think right now Ohio State could beat Alabama.
There's no weaknesses on that team.
Hey, listen, I wouldn't object to that.
They got three Heisman contenders.
Yeah, other than, you're going against Nick Saban. But, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
They're the most complete team as far as how you've played, against who you've played, how dominant have you been, both offense and defense. They are the most complete team. They have not played a marquee top 10 caliber football team yet. So that's a problem. The only question I have about Ohio State is Ryan Day and Justin Fields in a championship moment. Which I don't know how you...
True.
That doesn't really count towards your resume. That just is sort of a more of a predictive thing. We have no idea what Ryan Day will do when his team is down by... Has Ryan Day called a difficult play in his career?
No. Well, let me ask you this then.
One tough play.
If Wisconsin did not lose to Illinois, and then obviously Ohio State beat them, will we give that a bigger win for Ohio State then?
Well, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because they now have multiple losses. And if my aunt had... Well, you know how a saying goes.
She'd be my uncle.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Nick. Go. I didn't need to finish that. You got it for me.
All right, Mace, what you got?
All right.
Minnesota number one?
Yeah, Fleck. Row the boat, baby. Row the boat.
Baylor, too.
Hey, if you're going by undefeated, then, yeah, they would be in the top five or six.
Thank God we've evolved past that.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, I got LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Bama 3, Clemson 4. Now, this is where it gets interesting because I have Georgia 5, Florida 6.
Florida 6.
Two loss.
You had Penn State in 4 last week.
Yeah, I did. Penn State.
So they on the bye week fell 3 spots.
I think that the way what I've seen from Florida, even with 2 losses, that is a damn good team.
Pretty good.
That is a really good team. And I think under any other circumstance, that's maybe a 1-loss team rather than a 2-loss team.
So
I
would have neutral loved to site?
See them, I would love to have seen them play Florida like the end of the – mean, on Georgia end of the year.
So
like,
right now you think
the SEC they played them pretty well.
If they played each other right now, you would take Florida over Penn State head-to-head.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Florida over Oklahoma.
That'd be tough. But, I mean, Kansas State proved that, you know.
Yes, you can score on Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's a formula to doing it. And they just gave up the game toward the end and almost let Oklahoma come back. But, no, LSU, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson.
Yeah, you boys are right
on.
Right on.
Then I have Georgia, Florida, then Penn State. And what was my it was Oregon.
You got to get the Pac-12 one losers in there at some point. Nothing wrong with those top five. In fact, those are the same five. Like, I have Georgia at 5, Penn State at 6. Right now, I thought, listen, Penn State's got some nice wins. They're not as good as Georgia's wins. Georgia's wins are over Notre Dame and Florida, two teams that you could argue are top 10. They have the loss of South Carolina, which is a huge sort of albatross hanging around their neck, which I think could cost them a chance at the playoff. Penn State does not, but Penn State hasn't been overly dominant. They've beaten good teams, but they've beaten them, you know, 18-10. They beat Pittsburgh. Okay. 17-12 against Iowa. Okay. You know, they gave up the lead to Michigan, and Michigan probably should have tied the game on the final drive. And, you know, so, you know, Penn State's been good. They just haven't been great. So I don't put them in the same tier as the top four. Here's where I'll go a little controversial here. I don't think there's really anything controversial about the top four. I will have Alabama 1, Clemson 2, LSU 3, Ohio State 4. I think you could also make the case for Ohio State at 3 because LSU's defense, you could poke some holes in LSU's defense. Same thing with Alabama. They're the best two programs in college football with the best players in college football, and they have the best coaches in college football with the two best quarterbacks in college football. Mm-hmm. And they have crushed basically everybody. It's not like... Like, I get Alabama's strength of schedule is not as good. I understand that. It's not as good as LSU. LSU was losing in the third quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the argument for LSU is they've got the best resume. They got the best wins. That's totally true. But they're not beat. They didn't beat Florida by 38 points. They didn't beat Texas by 38 points. They didn't beat Auburn by 38 points. So what's better, beating Texas A&M by 30 points or beating beating Florida by 3? Well, it's kind of about the same, right? Like, it's not that different. It was basically 10 points. And they ended up pulling away from Florida, winning by 2 touchdowns.
Let me phrase this question for you in a specific way, because you have Bama Clemson higher than me and Derek do.
I think they're all even, by the way. I think all 4 of them are great. So.
Forget the Bama Clemson fatigue factor. We all know that's just something people complain about. And then when they play in January, everybody tunes in masses to watch. Do you think, let me phrase this the correct way, there is Bama Clemson, we take them for granted. They're so good that when they don't just bludgeon people, we kind of discredit them and give more love to LSU and Ohio State because we're so used to seeing them just be the standard of excellence.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think it's 100% what we're doing to Trevor Lawrence. I think we all thought Trevor Lawrence, after that championship game performance against Alabama, that he has to be the greatest statistical player in the history of the game. The guy's got over, what does he have, 26 touchdowns? And like... What does he have, like 2,300 yards of offense? They're winning by they're scoring 44 points a game, which is like 5th in the country. Like, Clemson's number 2 in defensive efficiency, number 3 in offensive efficiency. They're the only team in America that's top 5 in both of those categories. They went on the road and beat a good Louisville team by 35 points. Like, that's how is that any different than beating Washington or beating Texas A&M or, you know, any of these other wins? Is beating Wisconsin By 30 points better or worse than, you know, yeah, it probably is better than beating Louisville, but is it really at home? I think your point is totally valid. We're looking for reasons not to put Alabama and Clemson at the top. there are two very viable ones in LSU and Ohio State. Ohio State's the most complete and most dominant team so far, but completely unproven in a championship setting.
Mm-hmm.
And LSU has had the best wins, the best resume. So both it makes sense for both those teams to be 1-2. I just always come around on who do I think's the better football team. And I know we're going to see a game this weekend play out. So thank God we don't have to argue about this for too long.
Well, I mean, no, but you're just keeping it simple. The coach, the quarterback, the programs, you don't need to go too far.
It's not about what happened last year.
Yeah.
It's not about what you did last year. It's not about the players that were on last year's roster. I'm talking about your team this year. And Alabama, Clemson, like, I just don't think it's that controversial to look at Alabama and Clemson and think they're the two best teams. I don't think it's controversial to put Ohio State at one. I don't think it's controversial to have LSU at one. I think all of them are viable number one level programs. My questions are about Coach O and Ryan Day. Those are my questions. I don't know what those guys are going to do in championship settings. Coach O's never delivered in that setting, and Ryan Day's never called a tough play in his life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean he can't do it, but we haven't seen it yet.
615-737-1025, the number. If you want to jump in on the college football playoff conversation, 737-1025. Coming up next, LSU and Alabama. Is it a college football preview or an elimination game? We're back after this on Morning Drive.
You know what's not eliminating? That would never eliminate you, but only make you better? That's Cool Springs MD. And I'm talking to all my men listeners out there because I've been saying this for over a year now. Because, man, you know, we are starting to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men in Brentwood, Franklin, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And yes, man, when we are healthy and when our lives are enriched, everyone else around us feels much better. Okay, we're able to go outside with the kids and play. We're not sitting on a couch all lethargic, just want to watch television. We're out enjoying Nashville the way men are supposed to. And that's with your families, that's with your kids, that's with the wife or the girlfriend. And you know what? There's no better time now to achieve all of that. You know what that's called? That's called a healthy lifestyle, people. So what are you waiting on, man? What are you waiting on? Give Cool Springs MD a call today. Make that appointment. Pull out your smartphones. Grab a pen or a pencil. Write it down on a piece of paper. However you want to do it. But you got to put this number down because it's one of the most critical numbers, one of the most important numbers that is going to be on your phone today. So here it is. Listen closely, man. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or visit the website, CoolSpringsMD.com.
Here's what's interesting about that game. A lot of people just assume it doesn't matter. The loser of that game is fine. Loser of that game may be fine if it's LSU. If it's Alabama, you had better watch out. I don't think Alabama has a very clear path to get in if they get knocked out here tonight. We all know Alabama has done this before. They've lost in the past in this game in 11. They lost in, I believe it was 17 to Auburn at the end of the season. But their resume is terrible. They don't have a good win, and their best win is Texas A&M, which is not really a good win. So a loss at home, even though they look like one of the three or four best teams in the country, I think they could be in big trouble.
That was Paul Feinbaum earlier today on ESPN talking about LSU and Alabama. So let's get into this elimination game, college football playoff preview between these two, because I kind of agree and disagree with Paul there. I could see a case where Alabama doesn't make it, and I wouldn't be outraged as a Bama fan if they lost to LSU and somehow were left out. But let me give you a scenario. Remember the 9-6 game in 2011? How many missed field goals did Alabama miss? I think three. I mean, they were just god-awful, and they lost in overtime.
Eric Reed's interception wasn't really an interception either at the goal line there.
Yep, that was the Marquise Mays throw to Williams.
That should have been a – I mean, that was – I thought that was a – yeah. Anyway, no, not to relive these games.
But to your point, though, like if Alabama loses a really close game to LSU because of a missed field goal, three-point game or less, and then bludgeons Auburn in the Iron Bowl
– yeah.
I think they would have a case, even though their resume stinks.
See, and here's the thing. This is what people get so caught up in at this time of year. And it's part of the reason I don't like the rankings coming out so often, because they don't mean anything. Like tonight, again, I'll be interested to see what happens with the one-loss teams, but there's really no intrigue in the top three or four. We're not ranking resumes. The job of the committee is not to rank your resume. The job of the committee is to rank the teams. And I say this all the time about 2013 Florida State. 2013 Florida State didn't play anybody. They had a terrible strength of schedule. Their quote-unquote resume wasn't any good. They won by 42 points a game and won the national title because they were the best team in America with Jameis Winston and like 36 NFL players. Like, at what, you're not always the contents of your resume. You are not blind. Like, don't be a blind resume truther. Like, don't sit there and just say, all right, well, this team's played a tougher strength of schedule and they've got two. They've beaten one top 25 team and you've beaten none. Well, no, your body of work is 8, 9, 10, 12 games. It's not one game. It's not two games. It's not three games. It's 12 games. And Alabama's winning by 40 points. Like, they're crushing people. If you lose to LSU badly and you look ugly doing it and Tua looks healthy, that's probably the worst-case scenario for Bama, right? Like, Tua looks fully healthy, they're at their best, and LSU boat races them. That's the worst-case scenario for Alabama. But you're not ranking the best resume. You're not ranking the best strength of schedule. Those are part of the equation, but what you're ranking is who's the best team. Georgia last year, by losing to Alabama the way they did in the championship game, proved to me that they were one of the four best teams. It didn't disprove it. It proved it to me. Now, they didn't get in because Notre Dame was undefeated. Okay. Mm-hmm. I still think Georgia was a better team than Notre Dame last year. I would have put Georgia in. And because they lost close to Alabama, that would be my reason for putting them in. If you lose close to LSU and LSU's the number one team in the nation and 13-0 SEC champs, wouldn't that be a reason to make the case for Alabama, not against them?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be. I could see, you know, if people want to point at Alabama's schedule, I could see if Alabama was winning close games with this schedule.
Right.
I can understand you saying, well, maybe they're not one of the best teams in the country. But they're blowing people out, and it's not even close.
Have they even had a North Carolina game like Clemson has?
People will be killing them.
I don't think they have they?
Yeah, no, I don't think they have. They've beaten everyone by two touchdowns or more. And they play this LSU game and say they lose the close game.
48-15 is the average score for Alabama.
Yeah, so my thing is, if they lose a close game to LSU, or even if they get beat by like 10 points, 10, 12 points, I don't know, 15 points, to me, they're still one of the best four teams in the country. Because they would come back, and if they beat Auburn convincingly, to me, it proves that they're still one of the best four teams. I think you said it perfectly. Worst case scenario is if they lose with a healthy Tua. If we assume Tua's 100%
and they look bad doing it,
then. My thing, if I'm Nick Saban, if I believe in my backup quarterback Mac, if Tua's not 85% to 100%, I am not playing him unless I have to. Unless, you know, the quarterback gets hurt and Tua has to come in. Because to me, if you lose a close game with Mac at your quarterback, you still have a chance. If you lose a close game and Tua's healthy, or you lose a close game, or you lose up in a blowout fashion and Tua's 85% to 90%, it's still going to look bad on your resume, I believe. So if I'm Nick Saban, if Tua's not at least 90%, 95%, I'm not playing him. He would come in if I need him.
Yeah.
But I would trust that Matt can get the job done. And if he doesn't get the job done, then I have Tua back healthy for Auburn.
How long into the Tennessee game? Was it the early second quarter that he got hurt? Can we double check that?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe find out. But let's just say hypothetically that, because again, that game was fairly close. Tennessee might actually be the closest game they've played.
Yeah.
Because their elite super Heisman Trophy quarterback went out. Like, can LSU survive if Joe Burrow is not the quarterback?
Probably not.
No.
Is Ohio State, they have no quarterback depth behind Justin Fields. Is Ohio State the same team without Justin Fields?
Nope.
No. Trevor Lawrence leaves Clemson?
No.
What do they look like? Mm-hmm. Now, they might actually have a guy who's got the most experience because Chase Bryce has won them a game in the past. But, you know, how many of these teams could take their Uber – could you take Jalen Hurts off of Oklahoma and have them play against Tennessee and Arkansas? Arkansas sucks. Trust me. I get it. They're terrible. But how many teams in America could you take that guy off the team and you go out and you win basically 90-20 in two games against an improving Tennessee team and a conference team in your division in Arkansas? Again, terrible Arkansas team. I get it. But like, if you took Jalen Hurts off of Oklahoma, what do they look like? And I just think that's, again, I don't know how. Let's just talk football here. Let's forget resume. Let's forget all the metrics. Who stops that passing attack if Tua's healthy? Who stops it? How are you going to cover those four receivers?
Yeah, there's nobody in college football.
I mean, no. So again, that's not the end all be all. That's not the deciding factor. But the job of the committee is not to rank your best schedule or the best resume. The job of the committee is to rank the four best teams.
Well, I mean,
I don't know how you don't make the case Alabama is one of the four best teams.
I think Feinbaum's correct in saying Bama's resume so far does not look good. But according to Oddshark, here's the spreads. If these four teams meddled in a neutral field.
Oh, this is what I was waiting for.
And this is just from the Bama perspective.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to say Alabama's not a top four team, you're wrong, because Vegas has them favored over everybody on a neutral field. Bama against LSU on a neutral field. Now, keep in mind, uh-huh, Bama's a 7-point favorite at home this week. Neutral field playoff, Bama -3.5. Bama against Clemson neutral field, Bama -4.
Mm, that's about right.
Bama Ohio State neutral field, Bama -7.
Oh, wow.
Here's the question. How many times has Alabama been the number one team in the nation, undefeated, and been a 7-point underdog, like LSU is right now?
Correct. No, the answer is zero, at least
now,
to my knowledge.
Now, I know that Vegas' goal is to split the money,
yep,
right? Vegas' goal is not to, hey, we think this team's better. Their job is to split the public on the betting money line, because they want half the people betting one way and half the people betting the other way. So I understand that it's not the end-all, be-all. But I don't. There's no chance number one undefeated Alabama has ever been a 7-point underdog.
I would agree.
So,
Kyle, first up on Morning Drive, talking some college football playoff. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, bud.
Hey, we're talking a lot about what happens if Alabama loses. What about if LSU loses? Are they gone? And does a one-loss Oregon run the table? They have any chance getting in? And or, let's say Ohio State slips up against Penn State or Michigan, and they're a one-loss non-conference champion. How do you think that plays out?
I've got something in my head that I can't get. It started. It's like this. You know how like a certain song is like an earworm, right? And it like dives its way into your head and just like lives there for like a day or two. There's this thing in my head that says that Ohio State's going to dominate every single team they play this year. They're going to win the Big Ten championship, but they're going to lose to Michigan.
That could be.
I don't know why I think that.
That could be the
case. They're going to be 12-1 Big Ten champ, and they're going to get into the playoff.
But
they'll have a close road loss at Michigan at the end of the year, just because they're going to slip up that one time, the way Alabama did to Auburn that one year, and still get in. Like Michigan can't win the division because they have two losses in conference. But for some reason, that's just like this earworm in my head right now. LSU's got a better resume, quote unquote resume, than Alabama, so they can afford the loss better with the committee. So if they go and it's on the road against Alabama. So if LSU loses on the road to Alabama, Alabama wins the SEC, and you're LSU, you've got all these great wins, and your only loss is on the road to number one Alabama, you've got a great case to get into
and
the
playoff. And then you play A&M at the end of the season, so that would be
another good win
yeah, for you if you can pick up that one.
It'll be hard to knock LSU out at that point.
Does it make us SEC homers really if we say the SEC is the only conference good enough to get a mulligan and still make the playoff?
No, I think Ohio State can do it. I don't
know if Ohio State can do it.
What do you mean mulligan? Like a loss?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think all these teams could get in.
I don't think Ohio State can.
Clemson's the only one that can't really.
You think Oregon can get in as a one-loss Pac-12 team?
Absolutely. So could Utah. So could Ohio State. You don't know what's going to happen elsewhere, right? Like,
I don't think a Pac-12, one-loss Pac-12 team is getting in.
I think Oregon will be ranked ahead of Oklahoma tonight.
I agree, although I would say
puts them in the driver's seat.
But I think Oklahoma would beat Oregon.
I agree, too, but right. I think Oregon will be ranked ahead by the committee.
Yeah.
Their loss is better.
This is the beauty of this whole thing.
Yeah.
This makes it so great.
And listen, Oregon defensively is far better than Oklahoma. So, like, that's a big argument here.
But that's, I mean,
Oregon also is going to have another top
game,
10 win coming with
the
Utah.
The Oklahoma game, their loss at Kansas State, That's a tough road. That's a tough road game.
Yeah, but you're down 25 in the fourth quarter, dude.
But you, I mean,
when you're getting boat raced, the committee has told us we don't like it when you get boat raced.
But they didn't get boat raced.
Oklahoma's lost though because they were favored by I think 24.
24.
Oklahoma's loss to Kansas State is as bad as Georgia's to South Carolina.
Yes.
They were both 3 touchdown favorites.
Now Kansas State keeps winning.
I don't think so because Oklahoma at the end that should have been that could have easily turned the other way in Oklahoma. And we could talk about it after break, but that could have easily turned. And Oklahoma could have won that game.
It's about how you lost, though.
All right. And we will wrap up that conversation on the other side. Then also, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it when we come back. So stay tuned. Hmm. This is not a troll job. I genuinely believe there's a case to be made for the statement I'm about to make. Back after this on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Congratulations to Kevin Cooper with the correct answer of Philip Forsberg. You have qualified for a chance to win the Winter Classic Celebration flyaway to Dallas, where you will receive round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, a pair of tickets to see Lynyrd Skynyrd with special guests, the Almond Betts Band, and Asleep at the Wheel. And a pair of tickets, of course, and this is what makes the whole contest great. The Predators take on the Dallas Stars at the Cotton Bowl on Wednesday, January the 1st. Prizes courtesy of Outback. So there you go. Kevin Cooper is our qualifier today.
The Almond Betts Brothers?
That's what it says. The Almond Betts Band?
Band?
Is that Dickie Betts, I'm assuming?
Not Mookie Betts. Mookie? No, it's not Mookie.
Are they cousins? You guys don't know anything about music.
Are they cousins?
It's not Liddell Betts. Remember Liddell Betts back in the day, NFL
guys,
running back?
You guys don't know anything
Betts,
about music.
The running back. It wasn't Liddell. God. It was
Liddell Betts.
The running back for Pittsburgh?
No, that was Jerome Bettis.
Guys.
No. It was Betts, a running back for Pittsburgh. God, what
Jerome
was his name?
Bettis.
No, it was another. It was
there
another.
There was a Ram and a Redskin named Liddell Betts. I think he played at Notre Dame.
Was yeah.
I believe.
So not only do you not know anything about music, but you don't know anything about football either.
No, damn. I don't know anything.
Dickie Betts is a founding member of the Allman Brothers Band.
Who cares?
Oh, my God.
Not the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, if it's not the Doobie Brothers, I don't care.
Exactly.
All right.
If the Doobie Brothers.
Not Allman Joy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If it's Hall & Oates, I care. But the Betts Brothers, no, don't care.
Oh, my God.
Go for brothers.
How many brothers is it? Yeah.
It's
four
just
brothers?
Dickie Betts.
No, there's only two brothers. We got two brothers in here. We got two white guys.
No, the
Nick and Braden are the white guys. Marquise and Derek are the brothers.
Is it Debbie Betts or Dickie Betts?
Dickie Betts.
Whatever your heart desires.
Stop being such a jerk.
So let me just
one of the almonds is dead. I think the other one might be dead,
Almond
too.
Almond Joy? Huh?
Oh, my God.
Almond milk? See what I started? I'm warping everybody's brain.
Go ahead.
All right, show us why you're the biggest Bama fan for the chance to win a cabin on the Crimson Tide Cruise, February 10th through the 15th. The second annual Crimson Tide Cruise will set sail from New Orleans to Cozumel and Yucatan, Mexico. Got that on one try. Wow. Thank you very much. On board the Carnival Valor at a national championship-worthy vacation with your favorite Alabama sports legends. And no, Marquise Munson will not be on this cruise. Send us a picture by Twitter with the hashtag BamaCruise or upload it at thegamenashville.com.
What's the weather like in Cozumel this time of year? Pretty good?
Pretty brilliant.
It's probably nice and warm.
So a statement that I truly believe in one moment, but let's wrap what we were just discussing with the college football playoff, because one of you, we're so off the rails right now, I forget who was going to make a point about something, but somebody had something to say.
No, you're the one who said we went to break, and you said there's something you're going to say.
Yeah,
and,
no, but there was something you guys wanted to finish real quick.
No, I think we were we were talking about LSU and you know, possibly how would they not be in the playoffs, and then Oregon, you know, still be in a position? Because I think right now, I think if the Pac-12, if things continue to go the way they are, even with the one loss SEC team, I don't think the Pac-12 gets in. I just don't. I mean, because you would have a one loss Oklahoma team.
See, that's
if they
beat
Baylor and then they come back and win. Say if Baylor goes undefeated and they beat them in their Big 12 championship, or if Baylor loses once and they play, say, Texas, I don't know.
Here's again, that's what makes tonight so interesting. It's not the undefeated teams, it's the one loss teams that's interesting tonight. Oregon's strength of schedule right now, 24th in the nation, Oklahoma's 49th in the nation. Oregon's loss is far better than Oklahoma's right now. and Oregon would have a win at this point, if we're saying everybody wins out, would have a win over top 10 Utah in a Pac-12 title game to add to their resume. Oregon would have the better resume and the far better defensive football team than Oklahoma. They're not as efficient on offense. Oklahoma's the best offense in America. I think what is important to watch tonight is Georgia, Oklahoma, Utah, and Oregon. How does the committee look at the one-loss teams? Mm-hmm. Because right now, I would have the Pac-12 one-loss champion ahead of Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma would win the game, so I would vote them better. Like, I would vote Oklahoma as the better football team. But that's not what the committee's doing. They're putting all of this stuff together. Their eye test and resume and everything. I think Oregon is going to be ahead of Georgia and Oklahoma tonight, and if they do that, it's because Oregon has played a tougher schedule, has a better loss, and is metrically better than Oklahoma. I would not be surprised if the Pac-12 champ gets in over the Big 12 champ before we talk about the SEC.
Oklahoma
team, the second
needs
SEC team.
For, and they only have one game in between the two, they need for Oregon to stay undefeated. Oregon has TCU. They can't be
Baylor.
Yeah. They can't. It can't be a slip up.
No,
Baylor.
They need to be.
They need to
as
be
good
undefeated.
A Baylor team
exactly.
As possible.
They need to be undefeated when Oklahoma faces them,
and then probably beat them again.
Yeah, and beat them again
in the Big 12 title game, because they got Iowa State this week, and that's a pretty solid win.
But so. If Baylor ends up winning, then they would have to play Texas right before they end the season with Kansas, which we know will probably more than likely be a win. But if they can pick up a win versus Oklahoma, beat Texas, and then come back in the Big 12 championship game, even win or lose.
13-0 Baylor is going to have a good case.
13-0 Baylor, yep. if there's a one loss, say if LSU or Alabama loses, Baylor wins and they win the Big 12.
That's the debate right there.
You got to argue Baylor. You got to argue strong that Baylor's in.
But here's the problem, if you're a Baylor fan. Your second best win probably at that point, LSU's got the same win, and they did it.
Yeah.
And they did it on the road
against Texas. Yeah.
So if your second best win is Texas, or if you've beaten Oklahoma twice, maybe that's your second best win. But if your third best win is Texas, well, LSU's that'll be like LSU's like third or fourth best win too. So like LSU, that is a debate. 13-0 Baylor versus 11-1 LSU. That is the debate right there.
Shout out to the audience for calling in and telling Marquise Liddell Betts played at Iowa.
What I tell you, Liddell Betts.
Mm-hmm.
You did said that.
I said Liddell Betts. I just got the college wrong.
No, he was saying.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you got it.
You said Notre Dame, but you're right. I should have known.
No, but
that
was there
Iowa.
Well, Liddell, he must be the same guy that I'm talking about.
He's no Fred. He's no Fred Russell, but
Fred Russell.
Yeah, remember that Iowa team in '02 had Dallas Clark,
yeah,
Bob Sanders, Fred Russell, and the quarterback was Brad Banks.
Wow,
how about that team?
It's a good pull by you.
Right on the top of the dome, boys. Nerd alert.
We will get to the statement coming up next that I want to make as far as two of the coaches that we care about. But by the way, just really quickly, I just noticed this. There's now a parody Twitter account dedicated to Dan Lambert's back tattoo.
No, there's not.
Yes.
Yeah, DL back tattoo?
DL back tattoo exists. He sent us a tweet. He says, moving on up, I'm getting closer to your lower back, Nick.
Have you seen the photo? Did you see the profile picture?
Oh, my
yes.
goodness.
It's a hairy back with a photo of Dan Lambert's face on
man.
It.
Man, good luck.
Nashville, we love you. We love you, Nashville.
I tell you, just put it on your put it. On
oh
your
yeah, yeah, that'll go over real well with the wife.
Yeah. I'm sure the one on the back will go over real well with the wife as well.
I still think chest plate. I like the belly button idea. I like the lower back tattoo. I also like chest plate. You know, just get Nash on one side and Dan Lambert on the other.
Put it on your hamstrings.
Oh, Jesus. Just his face. Just his face.
I'm telling you, put it on your calf muscle.
No.
Put it on your calf. Put his face on your calf muscle.
I was getting tweets last night. I should go on the forearm.
No, because you can hide that. You can really. No, get it put on your calf muscle. Because you like wearing shorts anyway.
Yeah. Baggy shorts.
What about like a D on one side of the neck and the L on the other side of the neck?
You might think he's in a gang, man.
Yeah, power play gang.
Somebody will get offended by it.
Exactly.
They'll have to answer for it.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, we get power play goals because we score power play goals.
We go on the PP because we're always on the PP. All right, when we come back, Jeremy Pruitt, Mike Vrabel. I have a thought I never thought I would say. We're back after this on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Casey Alexander, head coach at Belmont, coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. So I was thinking about this last night, and I can't believe I'm going to say this because 4 to 6 weeks ago, I would have sounded like a moron for saying this. And maybe I am still a moron this morning if I do say this. But nonetheless, I actually think right now that Jeremy Pruitt is showing more progress in year two as a head coach than Mike Vrabel is. Am I off base in thinking that? I'm thinking the last month, Tennessee looks like a solid football team. The last 4 to 6 weeks, the Tennessee Titans, I know they've won two games in there, poorly coached, penalties, mistakes. I actually think Jeremy Pruitt might have lapped Vrabel at this point.
Has Tennessee beaten a team, a Power 5 team with a winning record?
No.
Yeah. I think your point is valid. I think he has shown more progress this year than Vrabel has. So I think you're right about that.
Okay.
Vrabel accomplished far more in his first year than Pruitt did. So I think, if anything, they're sort of coming back to even.
If they were stocks anything, right now, like I would say the stock for Vrabel is going down.
Yes.
Pruitt is either flat or slightly ascending.
No question. Can I tell you on Sunday morning what I think about that?
Absolutely.
Because I think if you go on the road and beat Kentucky, you could start to talk about a corner being turned for Tennessee football.
Which I think they will do.
Did you see the – Nick, because you were talking to me yesterday before the show, and I was agreeing with you that we were all on Kentucky. This is a bad spot for Tennessee to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
Rival, you know, revenge factor from last year. Kentucky's got rest. They're coming off a bye. Like, a lot of reasons to like Kentucky in this game. Did you see the line?
It went from 3.5 to a pick, I think.
It went from 3.5 favored Kentucky to Tennessee by a point. That is a huge swing. And that means a bunch of early money came in on Tennessee.
That is correct.
Hard.
I predict UT to win that game. I think they've gotten better as a team. I think they've settled in. I think Garantano, I think he's the quarterback. He's the guy that's going to win them football games moving forward. I know people love, you know, the backup, who's the starter now, Mara. But I think if you want to continue the trend of showing that this team is improving, I think that Garantano has to stay the quarterback. Because if you just take away the blunder that he had at against Alabama, I think he's played fairly well, considering, you know. So I think if they're going to continue to trend upward, I think it's going to be because Garantano is your quarterback.
I mean, if they finish with wins over Kentucky and Missouri on the road and break a really ugly string of games against Vanderbilt, I mean, you're going to be left with a really positive taste in your mouth about how this team and the season developed over the course of the year. I can't help but think, what if you hadn't choked against two non-Power 5 opponents in the first 2 weeks of the season, what could have actually been this year? If you go on the road and you beat Kentucky and Missouri and you finish 7-5, you should have won 9 games, which is a hell of a statement on Jeremy Pruitt. The problem is you choked and your team didn't show up. Like, you want to know, like, well, did you show up and do any practicing in the summer? Like, did you just show up on week one of the game and that's when you started practicing? Like, it's just so odd that you can look at this team today and see how well they're playing and then go, like, you really couldn't stop Georgia State running the football? Like,
I mean,
the mistake against BYU is like a one play thing. You kind of can say, all right, that was fluky, it was terrible, it cost you the game, but like, you were probably the better team most of the game.
The Vols
Georgia
start,
State just rolled them.
The Vols start to the season is almost as inexcusable as the first half of Titans games, where 4 out of 9 times they haven't scored a
right,
point.
Right, like, exactly.
Like, so, how does that happen?
So, again, I feel like they're going to split the Kentucky-Missouri games, and then they're going to crush Vanderbilt. That's what my vibe is. If you ask me for a prediction, that gets them to 6-6 in a bowl game, and that's progress.
I think they beat both Missouri and Kentucky, and I think they lose to Vandy.
Oh, my God. At home?
I think they lose to Vandy.
Stillman's head would explode.
I know.
Here's the thing. They still have a wildly inconsistent running game. Like, I know they have some talent, and it's getting better, but they didn't really run the ball that well against UAB. It wasn't like they lined up and just beat them into submission. They still have a very inconsistent offensive running attack, and the offensive line is showing progress. It's getting better. The two freshmen look like they're going to be starting for a long time, but they still have moments where, like, he got, you know, Darnell Wright was beat plenty of times against UAB. And you're going, wait a second, that was one of his worst games of his career. So there still is a lot of inconsistency with the running game. They need to be better. I want to say something like like 9 of 16, I think this was in David Ubbin's column, 9 of the 16 carries that Ty Chandler got this weekend went for less than 2 yards. Like, that's not good against UAB.
Mm-mm.
And I know UAB is a good G5 team, but that's not good enough against Kentucky on the road. That's not good enough against Missouri on the road. So they're going to have to be better than they were against UAB, which, you know, is asking something of Pruitt, but that's the job.
So earlier this morning, we mentioned the story coming out of the ABC television affiliate in Tallahassee about Florida State and Bob Stoops. Really quickly, do you think that's a good fit? Does it make sense? Can there be a perfect marriage there?
I mean,
no?
Bob Stoops, I think, is one of the first two or three phone calls I make. First call I make is to Urban Meyer. I say, Urban, are you interested in USC? You coming back to coaching? You want to come to Florida State? I think he says absolutely not. Second call is to Bob Stoops. So I think you're shooting for the stars with a coach like Bob Stoops. I think he would do a fantastic job. And the idea that Bob Stoops would be even closer to Nick Saban's territory just makes my heart just explode with happiness. Because I just the idea that Bob Stoops and Nick Saban's rivalry could not only be renewed, but they could be closer together now and fighting for the same players on the recruiting trail every day is just fantastic. Mm. But Florida State's it's tougher than you think as an elite job. The third call I make would be to James Franklin. If I'm James Franklin, I'm not even thinking about it. Penn State's got far more money, far better financial situation, a better fan base, a better commitment. James Franklin loves the fact that he soaks up all the oxygen in Happy Valley. He is the big fish in the little pond. He loves that. That's what James Franklin loves. I don't think he's leaving Penn State for anything other than maybe USC or something like the NFL maybe. He's from Pennsylvania. I just don't see how James Franklin would leave to go to a program where you're operating in the red financially.
There's not many programs that are better than Penn State.
Right. They're a top 10 program. Yeah. Like, it's just in your home state. Like, again,
this was supposed to be your dream job.
He sucks up all the oxygen and he wants it that way. Right. Like, he is the most important person in Happy Valley amongst all Penn State people, and he loves that.
So you don't think the
USC he might be interested in?
The Bobby Bowden era of Florida State football can ever be resuscitated?
Florida State's fascinating. I think it absolutely can. It's a great job in a fertile recruiting territory in an ACC where there's only really one team of competition, right? All you got to worry about is Clemson. That's a lot, but all you got to worry about is Clemson. Here's the thing. This is an interesting angle. Florida State doesn't have old booster money. They don't have 100 years worth of boosters donating money. They're sort of a new money team, right? Like the Florida Gators are. And new money is a little different than old money.
Mm-hmm.
And new money means that it's tougher to build facilities. It's a little tougher to do the $500 million football stadium renovation and, you know, put the putt-putt course in and all this stuff. Like, it's sort of, you know, like these teams that have been doing it since the 1920s and the 1930s, they got generations of wealth that push money into the program. Florida State doesn't have that, and that's why they have financial issues, I think. And so it's an elite job. You can win national titles there, but you got to hire an elite coach. And I think Mark Stoops is a really fine coach for expectations that include 7-5. Like Kentucky expectations are, if you get us to 7-5 every year, we're going to give you a contract extension. I don't know if Mark Stoops works at a place where expectations are you need to go 13-0 and win national championships, beat Clemson and Alabama. And I just don't – I think you need something bigger and better than that, unfortunately. And there's not many of those guys that exist.
Well, speaking of Kentucky, I just got a message. I want y'all
to – your girl checking in? Kentucky fan?
I just want y'all to
go
hear
Spartans.
This. I just want y'all – because the big game's tonight.
Yeah.
I just want y'all to hear
the
this.
The big game?
Yeah, I've already bet on both of them.
The big game's on Saturday.
Okay, y'all got to hush. Okay, just hush. Okay.
This would be great.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. I'm going to let you play it.
Uncle D, your team is going down. Go Cats!
You know, if she wasn't
talking
so
about the Spartans,
cute,
right?
I would trip her the next time I see
oh
her.
Oh my God, that's mean.
Yeah, it's a little Lenny and my little niece, but I would
Uncle
trip
D.
Her.
Uncle D.
She said my team's going down.
I like
her mama
it.
Put her up to it.
I like it
because she would never say that.
She's like in the background, like say this.
Yeah,
say that.
That's what she is.
Say
what are
going
you talking about? That's fair game.
But we made a bet that if Kentucky loses. Kentucky wins, I have to wear a Kentucky shirt or jersey, whatever she gives me.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And for the next you know, today, I mean, tomorrow, or
in the studio?
Friday. Yep. And I got to randomly say Calipari is the best coach ever. Just randomly. Just throughout the show, randomly just say that.
I love that so much.
So,
did you see Peter Burns yesterday, SEC Network, tweeting out a picture?
With his kid.
Yeah. I just think that's awesome. Like, I think everything's fair game. If you're convincing your kids to say something and it's trash talk towards other people's teams in the family, I think it's totally fair game.
Well, Burns is an LSU guy and his wife's a Bama girl.
Yeah, and so, like, their daughter's name is Bo, and he goes, "Hey, Bo, who's going to win this week?" And she's like, "Go Tigers!"
That
and the mom's like, "Roll Tide, damn
that
it!"
That would be the highest rated game in a while.
Yeah, it's big.
It's going to be. And I'm going to be at Baylor. I'm trying.
Oh, we got to talk about this. Hopefully,
we're going to be finished.
You just snuck that in
there,
dude.
Hopefully, we're going to be finished, but man, oh, man.
You're either a really good parent or your trash talking was so poorly planned because you ran your mouth about this game for months.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're hanging out with David Koresh. Meanwhile, we're watching 1 vs. 2.
Man. I'm going to watch it. I'm watching that game.
Yeah, you put your phone on silent because I'm going to text you every time Bama scores.
Touchdown to it.
Exactly.
Touchdown to it.
And then if LSU starts scoring, I'm turning my phone off because I'm not tolerating that crap.
You just better schedule like a long academic advisor meeting with the ex-wife and the kid there for about 2:30 Central Time in Waco, Texas.
Casey Alexander, head coach of Belmont, joins us coming up next here on Morning Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.